And a good Tuesday morning, everybody. Welcome into the Rundown, ESPN 102.5, the game. We are streaming live on the Game Nashville app. Chase McCabe, Marquise Munson hanging out with you. Marquise is back at the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Marquise, what's up?
What's up, man? I'm feeling good today. Feeling good. Not better than some people, but I'm feeling good.
I was about to say, you're probably feeling fine, but you're not feeling as good as Patrick Mahomes today.
No, I'm definitely not. A lifelong supply of ketchup for that guy.
I know, which I'm going to be honest, I would think that Patrick Mahomes is always feeling pretty good. I mean, since he entered the NFL and it took over as a starter, I mean, he's won an MVP, he's won a Super Bowl, he's been Super Bowl MVP, and now he has gotten paid, as they like to say, the richest contract in all of sports. Now, I know it's an NFL contract. There could definitely be some outs and all of that that we can discuss, but up to a potential of $503 million with the incentives that are in this deal. It's a 10-year extension. The total length of the contract is 12 years. And this news came out yesterday at the very end of Darren Donick and Chase. I don't even remember what we were discussing. And I was mid-sentence and saw that on Twitter and go, well, we have breaking news we need to hit before we get out of here. And then there's a little silence and Darren goes, are you talking about Mahomes? And I said, yeah. That was unbelievable. 10-year extension through 2031 with worth up to $503 million. $450 million is the contract, but again, all the incentives involved. $140 million injury guarantee and a no-trade clause. So an unbelievable contract. Marquise, what was your reaction when you first got the news?
To be like, I was shocked at the length of the contract, the 10-year part, because usually 10-year deals don't go that well in sports. A lot of times. Michael Vick, I remember Michael Vick signed like a 10-year deal with the Falcons in like 04. And yeah, let's just say it didn't last the full 10 years. And obviously that's for different reasons. But I was more shocked at the length. I was not shocked at the fact that he is the highest paid player in sports, because I mean, if you've looked at him over the last 3 years, you know, you can tell that he's been the top star in any league, in football and basketball and in any league. He has been one of the top athletes in sports on the play field, you know. So I think I wasn't shocked at the money. I was more shocked at, man, like 10 years, that's a lot. It's a long time for a football player. And then to add to this, he's only going to be 34 when this contract ends. So it's not like he's done with getting contracts just yet, because he could possibly get another contract later down the line when this 10-year deal is over with, because he'll only be 34 years old. We're seeing one quarterback still playing at the age of 44. So, I think I'm not shocked that they gave him a lot of money, but it's just... it's well deserved. I mean, when you look at what he's done over the last 3 years, it's well deserved.
Well, I was reading Bill Barnwell's article that he did this morning, and I was listening to Golic and Wingo. I think we would all agree that in today's NFL, the landscape of it, they probably rework this at some point in time. I don't know if the way this contract is written out, he actually plays it out completely, because he has some outs and they can rework some things. So I kind of think that ends up happening maybe in 5 years or so. Now, with all that said, I believe he's going to be a Chief for a long time. I believe he's going to be a Chief for the next 10 to 12 years. I'm not saying that, but I do believe they rework some of this contract, because as Floyd Reese will tell you, and I wish Floyd was here this week with this news coming out, he's on vacation, but a lot of the money you see in big deals like this is monopoly money. I mean, it's fake money. It looks good. We're all shocked about it. You know, I know there's the video of Mina Kimes circulating. We had our reaction on the air, but at the end of the day, I mean, none of these NFL contracts are fully guaranteed. So, you know, like Mike Trout's contract in baseball with the Angels is fully guaranteed. So it's a little different, but it's well deserved. I'm not poo-pooing it at all, but I think that the Chiefs, Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, they're going to do a lot of great things together for many years to come.
No, absolutely. Now the goal is to keep Hill on the team. Well, let's not make the same mistake.
Oh, yeah.
Let's not make the same mistake another team did, you know, in Texas, to where, you know, you got your quarterback for the long term, but you still don't have a wide receiver, and you give him away for pretty much nothing. Probably, I think, a David Johnson, maybe, you give him up for. So, yeah. Hopefully they don't do that. Hopefully they can keep these two guys together, because that's really the hardest part about constructing teams, and this is with any sport, is when you pay a guy this large sum of money, then you also got to pay other guys on your team large sums of money. You know, they still have to play, you know, Chris Jones as well. They still got to kind of take care of him. You got to take care of Tyreek Hill. You know, do you want to keep a guy like Sammy Watkins? Do you want to keep Damian Williams, you know, knowing that you got another backup, you know, a rookie quarterback as his backup? So, you know, there's still a lot of questions that they're going to have to keep, but they kept the main centerpiece of this whole thing, and that's Patrick Mahomes. Like, yeah, Chris Jones is cool. You can keep him, you know, but, you know, you kept the centerpiece of this whole team. But I think they still need to take care of Tyreek Hill, because that's going to be a tandem for years to come if they can do that.
Yeah, oh, yeah, and I think they will. And if you look at the structure of this, it doesn't break them. I mean, they have – They will have room to be able to keep players the way that the language is and all of this. So, and I know $25 million, that's incentives over 10 years with Mahomes starting in 2022. He gets $1.25 million for winning the AFC Championship game and $1.25 million for winning the NFL MVP. So that runs for 10 years. So I mean, there are a lot of incentives for him, and the cap hits, you know, help that. They'll be able to keep some of these players that we're talking about. Now, whenever there's a deal by a top player at their position, you always wonder what it's going to do for somebody else at that position. We know that Deshaun Watson's going to need a new contract. Dak Prescott is going to need a new contract. Dak Prescott has signed the franchise tender. He's going to play on that, it seems, unless they get a deal done in the next week or so. So how does this affect mainly Dak Prescott, who's trying to get a big payday? Adam Schefter talks about that, about Dak and Deshaun Watson.
I think Dak Prescott becomes empowered on the money. Dallas becomes empowered on the length of the contract. You tell me how that's going to work out. And Deshaun Watson, same draft class as Patrick Mahomes, has done everything he has except win a Super Bowl. So he's going to make the argument, well, if Patrick Mahomes is worth $45 million, then certainly I can make my case for $45 million. And even if you don't think he's as good as Patrick Mahomes, is he $1 million a year less? $2 million a year less? He's right in that neighborhood. And so the price has just gone up on Deshaun Watson. It's gone up on Dak Prescott, you would think. It's gone up on all the quarterbacks. And again, this is a landmark deal that will have ripple effects across the rest of the national football.
We all said that we felt like Patrick Mahomes was on target to be the first $40 million quarterback. Well, he is. $45 million, actually, is what it turned out to be. But could we potentially have above $40 million quarterbacks in the, you know, within the next year, whenever they get these deals done?
Yeah, see, it's difficult because, okay, so when I look at Lamar Jackson, for example, like, that's, to me, the closest one out of the three. And I think that's pretty easy to say. You know, he's got the MVP.
Right now.
But also longevity, it really plays a factor in that as well, because are you going to sign Lamar Jackson for a 10-year deal, knowing the type of player that he plays? Exactly. So I can see him getting close to that money, though. I can see him getting close to that $40 million mark because of just how good and how dynamic he is, especially if he can get the Ravens to a Super Bowl this year. As for Dak and as for Watson, I think they're a tier below where I think Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes is. Watson probably, to me, a little closer. He's pretty much has to do with nothing. Like, he's having to play with nothing at that point with the Texans. So I think he's a little closer. I'm going to kind of flip this on you because you're the lifelong Cowboys fan of this show. So I would ask you, like, we saw how excited the Chiefs fans were when they signed this deal with Patrick Mahomes because they basically got their quarterback of the future. So do you see Dak being a quarterback of the future for the Cowboys? Do you sign him to a deal like that? As a fan, would you be comfortable signing a deal like this with Dak Prescott? for like maybe this? Less money? For less money. Let's go with less money because we know he's not getting 40.
Yeah,
million.
But I mean, he's going to want 40 at least.
But that's the problem with players. They got to stop. I remember back in – this was back when I think Darrell Revis and Richard Sherman and all these like guys at corner, Patrick Peterson, they were all like free agents and trying to like top each other. I think Joe Hayden was in that conversation as well. And they were all trying to top each other with contracts. And I'm just – I see that with quarterbacks. I just don't see it because you have a different tier of quarterbacks. Now, if Dak Prescott wants more money than Jared Goff, or if Deshaun Watson wants more money than, you know, certain players, then that's fine. But I just think guys like Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson, you know, Lamar Jackson, I just think they're in a different tier than a lot of these other guys. And yeah, a lot of those guys will never admit that, you know, there's quarterbacks in a higher tier than they are, especially when it comes to money. I know they're not going to admit that, but sometimes you just got to be like, look, Patrick Mahomes is the ceiling. And I'm going to use Derrick Henry reference here. You know, Patrick Mahomes is the ceiling when it comes to this kind of money. And I don't think there's any other quarterback in this league, maybe even getting close to that ceiling outside of maybe Lamar Jackson. So, yeah. I think these guys just need to take their 35. I can see Dak getting 35. I can see Dak getting, you know, 30, between 35 and maybe 38 at the highest.
I'm just afraid he's going to fight for more. And to answer your question as the Cowboys fan, no. I mean, I would not. There's one Patrick Mahomes in this league right now. There is one guy deserving of a deal like that, and it's Patrick Mahomes. So I think any comparison with another quarterback is just it's wrong. Nobody has gotten up to that standard as of yet. I'm not saying they won't, but they just haven't gotten there yet. I mean, look what he's done in such a short amount of time. I mean, that's what's just mind-boggling to me. But
okay, so would you give? All right, so let's just say Dak and Deshaun Watson. Do you think Dak will get more than Deshaun Watson gets?
Ooh, that's a good question. Yes.
You think so?
Should he? Probably not.
Yeah, see, I asked that question, and I'm even struggling to answer it as well. Because
I think Jerry will give in. Jerry knows he can't lose him. And now Jerry's going to negotiate. Jerry and Stephen Jones are going to – they're going to try their best, but they know they can't let him leave, so –
I just think when you talk about if we're comparing, let's just compare the four between, you know, Watson, Mahomes, Dak Prescott, and Lamar Jackson. I'm putting Deshaun Watson third. In some cases, some people still are not sold on Lamar Jackson. There's some cases that a lot of people would put Deshaun Watson second in that tier.
Right.
Of just potential and, you know, that ceiling that he can get to. If, you know, he can get the weapons around him and he can obviously stay healthy. Deshaun Watson's ceiling is pretty high. And they're both in the same draft. But I don't know if I'll pay Dak that money. And I understand your point of, you know, I don't think Jerry's going to, you know, Jerry wants to keep his guy. He wants to lock this guy down because what other quarterbacks are you going to get? Are you going to take a gamble on trying to get a guy like Trevor Lawrence in the draft? Like, no. Like, that's probably not going to happen. So, yeah, you're kind of stuck in this point to where, you know, what are the other options? And Dak is that option. And it's not like Dak has been bad. It's just I don't think he's $38 million good. I don't think he's even $35 million good, to be honest with you. So I don't want him to look at his contract and to be like, I need to get Patrick Mahomes money because he hasn't had the Patrick Mahomes success yet. So And I hope I'm wrong. I hope, you know, the Cowboys make it to a playoff and, you know, win a couple games and maybe Dak can, you know, up his stock then. But other than that, these other guys, when it comes to Watson, who has playoff experience, when you come to Lamar Jackson and you saw what he did last year, they just have more on their resume right now than Dak. And I would pay them more than Dak at this current point.
So let's ask this question. And actually, it's not an original question. ESPN's Mike Greenberg of Get Up tweeted this out last night. Is there a young star in any sport you would bet on for the next 10 years ahead of Patrick Mahomes? How would you answer that question? 615-737-1025 on the text line, or you can call. Is there a young star in any sport you would bet on for the next 10 years ahead of Patrick Mahomes? That from ESPN's Mike Greenberg. How would you answer that question? Marquise and I will answer it when we come back here on The Rundown, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into The Rundown, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe, version one, alongside Marquise Munson here on the show. And we're asking the question that Mike Greenberg of ESPN, that is a good one. I missed that theme. That was a good theme. Mike Greenberg of ESPN put this out yesterday. Is there a young star in any sport you would bet on for the next 10 years ahead of Patrick Mahomes? He put that on Twitter. So any sport for the next 10 years, which is the commitment that the Chiefs have given to Patrick Mahomes, is there a player that you would say, yep, I'm going to bet on them and I will put them ahead of Patrick Mahomes within that period? That is a very good question and a very tough question, Marquise.
Yeah, it is, because there's so many. There's actually a lot. I had to kind of like come up with a list.
A lot?
I don't want this to be like these players are going to get more money, because it varies through sport, obviously. I don't see one in football for sure getting to that Patrick Mahomes level. I think, you know, the jury's still out on Joe Burrow. Obviously, we don't know what he's going to be. Obviously, we don't know what a healthy Tua is going to be. So those two guys could potentially be in that stratosphere one day, and maybe even a Trevor Lawrence, who's still in college at this point, you know, he may be up there as well. But in sports, it's hard, because it's like, can they get to that Patrick Mahomes level? And I think one in particular, and this is probably the closest one, and we'll see it next year, and that's Giannis. Giannis, right, is going to be a free agent next year, and you know, so we'll potentially see him get a large sum of money for an NBA player. And another guy that's, you know, this year is a free agent is Anthony Davis, who if I'm betting on a player for 10 years and hopefully the Lakers re-sign him to a large contract that he deserves and a long-term contract, not one of these little two-year deals with an opt-out year on the third year. No, I don't want none of that. I want a five-year deal, all the money in the world for Anthony Davis. So it's hard to determine in basketball, because everybody signs like these short-term deals nowadays. Like Kawhi Leonard could have easily been that guy last year. Like he could have easily had the Patrick Mahomes money, but instead he passed up on a little bit less money so he can play with Paul George. So NBA, it's hard, but if I were to bet on anybody, it would probably end up being Giannis at this point.
See, I think Giannis is a good one. 615-737-1025, if you want to weigh in, you can call or text 615-737-1025. A player you would bet on for the next 10 years ahead of Patrick Mahomes, Mike Greenberg of ESPN, asking that question. So I thought about Giannis. I thought about Zion, because he's young and you know, you're 1 year, you're not even a full year in. I mean, you're in the rookie year. So Zion Williamson could be one of those, but another one, and he's already on an 8-year deal, but he signed it as a 21-year-old. So he'll be a free agent again as a 28-year-old. And that's Ronald Acuña Jr. with the Braves. Because he's getting better and better and better. It wouldn't shock me if, and it might not necessarily be the Braves that do it, but when he's a free agent, because they were smart. They got him, it was a $100 million contract extension.
Yeah,
for 8 years, but they got him when he was young. When he gets to that point, hopefully he's even better, because 28, I mean, that's still in your prime. I could see one of these big money teams giving him a 10-year deal.
Yeah, see, when that deal actually happened, I disagreed with that deal from his standpoint of, you should have just like waited it out and took more money, because you deserve more money. I watched you hit a grand slam on the Dodgers. I know you deserve way more money than that.
And he's making $12.5 a year.
Exactly. So yeah. I didn't agree with that deal when it happened. So he probably would have been up there. You know, obviously Mookie Betts is probably another guy who I could see being that star player that can get a lot of money. Maybe Cody Bellinger as well. You know, I don't know. See, it's hard, because when you look at the ceilings for each sport, like Mike Trout is now the ceiling. So I just don't know if there's any player in the league that is going to overstep Mike Trout. Bryce Harper, right, I can see a couple players jumping Bryce, but I don't see anybody getting to that Mike Trout money in MLB. Not one person.
Yeah. But I could see one of these, you know, young players like Acuña, or because they got Ozzie Albies and Ronald Acuña signed to long-term deals, and they did it early. And that way it was team friendly, and they were able to hang on to him. But you're right. I mean, Acuna, when he signed it, as a Braves fan, I was excited, but at the same time, I was like, I don't know if that was really smart.
They got him for a bargain. That's a bargain for Ronald Acuna. I would pay him all the money in the world if he wanted to come to L.A. and come play for the Dodgers. I'll throw all the money.
Mookie.
No, I mean, we have Mookie now.
Yeah.
We don't have him.
I don't know if we're going to keep Mookie.
Yeah, I don't know if we're going to keep Mookie. We may keep David Price. We might not keep Mookie. And that hurts my soul because I want to win a World Series. I want to see Mookie and Cody Bellinger for more than a year.
Is Mookie – could you put Mookie in this category?
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
10-year big money deal. Now, I agree that I don't know if anyone in baseball gets a deal like Mike Trout, but, you know, somewhere in that hemisphere, I guess.
I would pay him more than Harper gets paid if I was a Dodgers fan. I would pay him way more than that. So,
whichever team pays him, if it's the Dodgers or the Red Sox or the Yankees, or
let's just stick with the Dodgers for now, Chase. Let's just Dodgers. Just say Dodgers at this point.
But you also have to. Here's another thing you have to consider, because again, we know how NFL contracts work. That some of this money isn't real, whereas a baseball contract it is. It's guaranteed. With what we're going through right now as a country, you might not see some of these deals for a while.
Yes,
in baseball, in sports where they're fully guaranteed.
I actually thought about that earlier today when thinking about Anthony Davis, which I think I would not be surprised if Anthony Davis just signs like a 1-year deal with the Lakers this year, like this up and coming season, and prepare for the 2021 free agency class where you have Zion and him will be the two vocal points. I know NBA players like to be the star free agency, so I know they'll be the big Giannis free agency class, and same thing for Anthony Davis. It'll be like the big Anthony Davis free agency class this year. But I think he signs a 1-year deal with the Lakers and finishes out that season, and then especially if they're close to a championship, if they win one this year or they're close to one and get to one next year. But I can see him signing a 1-year deal and going into 2021 where hopefully everything is back to somewhat normalcy, and then maybe he can get one of those large contracts. But I can see him doing that. But I can see Giannis getting a ton of money from the Knicks, you know, when he's a free agent. Or I can see him re-signing with the Bucks for a lot of money as well. But they just signed Chris Middleton to a large contract. So how much are you going to be able to play, you know, pay Giannis? So that's what's in question. And as far as Zion, it's tough to determine because, I mean, we only saw like 20 games with the guy. I would put money on Ja Morant in a heartbeat, 10 years. I would put money on Ja Morant and Trae Young, two point guards right there, who I think – when this is all said and done, when
Ja Morant's another good one.
Yeah, when Steph Curry retires, I think, or even when he's like, you know, getting there into his 30s, I think we'll be talking about Trae Young, Luka Doncic, and Ja Morant being 1, 2, 3 as far as point guards in the league. So I think they'll be top three.
So you feel like, because the way hockey contracts are now, you can't go beyond 8. So we kind of have to put hockey aside with how their contracts work. So you keep going to basketball. You feel like the NBA has the best opportunity to do something similar to this that has that kind of commitment. And again, those contracts are also guaranteed. So that you're more – I tend to lean more towards baseball, but you tend to lean more towards the NBA.
Yeah, because – well, it's harder for the NBA to get to that. I don't think – it's going to be a long time before we get to a $400 million NBA player, because – lately in free agency, it's always been short-term deals. Like, I could have saw Kawhi getting that money. I could see Anthony Davis getting that money if the pandemic did not happen. Free agency would have happened around this time right now. So NBA free agency would be right now instead of us preparing for the bubble. So I could see them getting that type of money, that $300 million type deal. But it just never happens because all these NBA players sign is 2-3 year deals with an opt out of after 2 years, and then all of a sudden they either move on or they sign another 2-year deal. So it's, I think LeBron and that big three class was like the last big free agency, you know, class to sign 5-year deals for a team. So once we get to that point to where someone's signing a 5-year deal, if it's not an extension, then usually it's, you know, it's usually for shorter term deals. Now, like guys like John Wall, for example, he signed a 6-year extension, which obviously that doesn't play out because he hasn't even played half of his 6-year deal anyway, because he's been sitting on the bench half of the time because he's hurt. So it's just harder because when you sign those long term deals in the NBA, a lot of guys don't last, and John Wall is an example of that, and you kind of end up regretting it. So now a lot of teams and a lot of players have now just signed short term deals. So if I can see and Anthony Davis, the Lakers locking him down for a 5-year deal, I can see it getting close to what that, you know, that $300 million, that $400 million mark. Because Anthony Davis, to me, in my opinion, not Laker bias aside, is the best player in basketball, not named Giannis or LeBron. So I think Giannis or him will get that kind of contract.
Well, it's certainly an interesting discussion to have with Patrick.
We're talking
Mahomes
about
the,
rich folks.
I know. Yeah, I know. The rich get richer. Apparently.
The rich get richer. But, hey, I mean, deservingly so, man. Look, sure. Patrick Mahomes is the most, I'm going to use the Rock term, the most electrifying man in football. He is legit. Like, if there's anybody, that's why I was, you know, because usually when we see a player's contract, we usually have that moment they're like, ugh, why did they sign him for that much? That is a lot of money for him. Why do they do that? I've noticed we're not doing that with him. We're just like, yeah, he's pretty much deserve it. I mean, 3 years, he's pretty much proven that he's worth that and probably more later down the line. So it's just funny how we're watching this contract and we're just like, huh, not surprised at all. He deserves it.
You know how you hear the phrase TV doesn't do it justice? And I think that's true with him because seeing him, I didn't go to the game here. I didn't go to the Chiefs game here. I watched that on TV. And then I actually watched the AFC Championship game. It was on CBS again the other day, and I was watching it. But I was there in Kansas City, sitting in the press box next to Floyd and Jared and other Nashville media, and we were watching him. And Harold Landry would get close to him, but then it was like he would just step ever so slightly and, boom, get missed. And watching that live, just watching him do that, you know, I walked by him in the hallway when I was trying to get from the Titans room to the interview room, and I walked by Patrick Mahomes, and I was just like, hey, bro, good game, man. Like, watching that guy in person is a treat.
No, absolutely.
It's just he's an athlete. That's just the best way to put it.
I got to watch him when he did come here to play the Titans. And remember, he was supposed to be out for a long period of time.
It was his first game back.
It was his first game back. And he looked like he did not miss a step at all. Like, usually when players come back, you kind of got to get them in rhythm and kind of get them back into football shape and get them back in the motion with their teammates. No. He was just like he played last week or like he played Saturday. Like, that's how he looked when he played the Titans. Even though the Titans came up with that victory, you know, but he just looked like he did not miss a step. And I just knew right then and there, like, dude, this guy's legit. Like, this is the future at quarterback in the NFL. And that's why they paid him that money. And if you're the Chiefs and you're a Chiefs fan, you know, you're just patting yourself on the back because you got a star quarterback. That's the one thing every team looks for. Every year in the draft and free agency is that guy they can secure for that amount of time, and they got it. You know, even the Titans still have questions of, you know, do you trust Ryan Tannehill? Do you not trust Ryan Tannehill? There's a lot of teams that have those questions. If you're a Chiefs fan, you're happy because you're like, we don't have those questions. We got Patrick Mahomes.
Speaking of questions, when we come back, Nashville SC, the latest with them, what is going on down in Orlando as they try to play tomorrow night is when they're supposed to restart their season. We will discuss that when we come back, the latest with Nashville SC on The Rundown, ESPN 102.5 The Game. RockNashville.com is your community resource page. Check it out for information around town, including Nashville's Good to Go initiative, CDC updates, ways to help the Middle Tennessee community. That's RockNashville.com. Welcome back into The Rundown. Chase McCabe, Marquise Munson here with you, holding it down as Nashville SC. What is up with them right now is they are scheduled to play tomorrow night against Chicago. And, of course, we are your home for Nashville SC, ESPN 94.9 and 102.5 The Game. But they keep having positive tests, Marquise. I mean, this is obviously an issue. Let's start with the other big MLS news. Yesterday, Dallas FC... they were withdrawn from the tournament. They had so many positive tests that MLS decided that they needed to go ahead and just pull them out of the tournament. I mean, these are some things that are tough decisions to make, but I think everybody knew that there had to be some sort of protocol in place if they had multiple players on a team test positive. MLS Commissioner Don Garber explains the decision to send FC Dallas home.
Clearly, with the protocols that we have in place and the numbers of players that came into Orlando and tested positive, we just felt they would not be able to train, and ultimately it wouldn't be in accordance with what we think is in the best interest of the health and safety of Dallas, but also the rest of the teams that are coming in there to have them to continue to participate in the tournament.
So there you go. There is Don Garber, the commissioner of MLS, explaining the decision to send FC Dallas home with all of their positive tests. Now, here's what's up. Here's the latest with Nashville FC. Drake Hills, who covers the team for the Tennessean, he tweeted out about 2 hours ago that so there was an article in the Tennessean that two Nashville SC players had tested positive for COVID-19. He says reportedly five Nashville SC players have tested positive for COVID-19 while in the Orlando bubble. Now, you may remember they had trouble leaving Nashville. They were waiting to confirm a test, had all of that they had to deal with, and so they were late getting down to Orlando. They haven't trained since last week. And they're supposed to play tomorrow. Obviously, very difficult to deal with right now, Marquise, but just hope for the best for Nashville SC, because obviously it's very important for them as an expansion team to play these games.
No, absolutely. And I kind of figured that there was going to be an entire team that was going to back out. My prediction was I thought the Brooklyn Nets were just going to back out of this because they had players test positive. They have players that are out and can't play. There's just too many players that they're going to have to replace on their team. So I thought they were going to be the ones to just be like, you know what, you know, we're just going to back out. And I figured it was coming from one of these sports, and it's shocking. And it's obviously for Nashville SC, you know, we hope that, you know, with only five players that, you know, tested, and hopefully, you know, if they're quarantined, they can get back on the field. They're still promoting that game like it's going to happen. So I'm still optimistic that the game is actually going to be played tomorrow, but I just don't know at what strength. I mean, you're losing five players on your team possibly. So, you know, especially, and we mentioned this yesterday, of you're a new team, you're building chemistry, and you've only played two games of your season. And now all of a sudden the pandemic happens. So now you're away from your team for possibly 3 or 4 months. Now you just get back with your team and you're starting to get that rhythm and that what you had in those first two games going again. And then all of a sudden, you know, you're going to be missing five of those players. And it's definitely going to be a challenge for them, you know, going into that first game against Chicago. And Chicago, you know, they're going to have their players out as well. But it's just, I don't know how MLS handled this whole situation. They're trying to do the best they can to kind of get the season still going as business as usual. Like I said, they're still promoting that game. So hopefully, you know, they'll be able to still play tomorrow. But it's just it sucks that we're going to be one less team in, you know, Major League Baseball or Major League Soccer's tournament. So.
Right.
It's just hard, yeah. It sucks, man, because I'm thinking that this is going to happen with other sports as well. You know, I'm afraid that this is going to happen in the NHL or the NBA when they come back, and hopefully they don't. Teams are starting to travel, you know, to Orlando as we speak in the NBA, so hopefully we don't get that same news on that front, and hopefully, you know, with NHL's new plan that we don't have that in the NHL as well. So
yeah.
It's I don't know. It's hard to describe, man, because it's like I'm shocked that there's a team that just completely backed out of this whole thing. But then I'm not shocked as well, especially when you have that many people test positive.
Right. And so I just want the best for Nashville SC. You know, my whole thing is if they're down so many of their players, then maybe you look at it as, okay, is there a way to postpone the game or delay it or whatever? I don't know. I'm just speculating. But you don't want them to be at a disadvantage, but you also knew going into this that this was a possibility. And you mentioned other sports. I mean, we know that there are several Major League Baseball players that are weighing their options or they're opting out. The NHL and the NHLPA did agree on on their deal, the return to play plan. So the players have to let the league know if they're going to opt out. No questions asked if they want to, but with baseball, David Price is one of them. Felix Hernandez of the Braves, Nick Markakis of the Braves, they opted out. Wellington Castillo is another one. Ryan Zimmerman, Ian Desmond. So there are some pretty big, I won't say big, but there's some no names that are opting out of Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
Let
me ask you, because obviously with the Braves, they have a lot of players that are either testing positive or just, you know, pulling out of the season completely. Yeah. You know, are you still optimistic that, you know, they're going to be able to play a game?
Ooh, right now, yes. Right now, I feel like they will. I mean, the schedule came out, which we're going to get to on the other side, but I say yes, but I am cautiously optimistic. Hold that thought. I'll tell you what I'm thinking when we come back here on the Rundown, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're back on the Rundown, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McKay, Marquise Munson. Marquise is back at the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. And Nate from Nashville says on the text line, I will tell you what I told Jared yesterday. I don't think sports will play much. They might start, but I am confident they won't finish. Maybe play a few games, but not many. So I read that because you asked me if, you know, how I feel about them actually playing. I'm actually starting to lean that way. I think they get started. I just don't know if they finish. And that's a real worry for me. And I don't want to be the Debbie Downer and be negative. I'm just trying to be realistic because as we say every day, there continue to be so many unknowns with this virus. Yes, the death rate has gone down. That is a very, very positive thing. But cases still go up. You know, how close are we to a vaccine? You know, what happens if you get it? Can you get it again? You know, what is more and more people get it, does that make us more immune? I am not a doctor. I am not pretending to be a doctor. I don't know the answer to these things. But what I do know is when I see multiple members of a team testing positive for it, when I see a 7-time Cup Series champion have to miss a race because he tests positive for it, it just continues to reaffirm that it's real.
Yeah.
And it's affecting everyone. And I understand there's a lot of money involved in these sports, in baseball, in the NHL, in MLS, in the NBA, in the NFL. I get all that. They are doing their darndest to get this stuff going again. I mean, what you and I do, Marquise, this affects us because we're in sports radio. So the fact that we've gone the last 4 months with really not a lot to talk about outside of the UFC and NASCAR, which have been great, which have been entertaining, but we haven't had the Predators, Nashville SC, the Titans had their off season, so that was good, but haven't had the NBA. Like I said, I'm cautiously optimistic, but it also, I wouldn't be surprised if they get started and then a few weeks in, they realize we tried, but we got to bail.
Yeah, see, I ask you that because, you know, obviously your team, you know, has had a lot of players either opt out or test positive. So I don't ask that to scare people of this, you know, we may not have sports, because as much as excited I am for July 30th and even July 22nd when they start doing scrimmages, the fact that I know that they're on the court. I looked at the courts yesterday, by the way. They look beautiful. It just looks beautiful. They look like they're playing in like a hotel, like ballroom, but it looks beautiful. But even then, I'm still like, okay, but are you can't just ask a virus to hold on for 3 months. You can't just be like, hold on, player. I got 3 more months. 3 more months, and just give me 3 months, and you can have at it. Just let us finish the season.
You can't.
You can't, and you can't hold this off. Like, the NBA is going to go from the end of July, so basically, let's say August, September, and half of October. So you're saying 3, maybe 2.5 months to try to get this finished and try to get this, you know, underway. Same thing for NHL. They're going to try to do this within a 3-month span. And you just can't possibly do that. And, you know, we're going to have players that opt out. We're going to have teams that probably say, you know what, like on second thought, we're not going to play. I'm actually surprised that a team like the Phoenix Suns and a team like the Chicago Blackhawks or, you know, the San Antonio Spurs that really that have a long shot at actually winning this whole thing. The fact that they're even trying to compete to win it in the first place, because what are you putting your players at risk for? Because if you're the Suns and you're the Spurs, all you're gonna risk your players' health for 8 games because you're possibly not gonna make it. You're long far gone from, you know, getting that 8 seed. So are you willing to risk that? And that's the thing, and that's why I'm not really tripping on players that opt out. I'm not worried about that, because it's bigger than that, and there's so many unknowns about this whole thing. And, you know, do you really want to be isolated for 3 months to play basketball or to play hockey or to play baseball? And so that's why I asked that question, because I'm pretty sure that's the same thing the players are doing at this point. Is this worth it to us? Like what are we doing? Like, yeah, you know, we want to play the game we love. LeBron said we hooping, so we all hooping. If Ovechkin say we slapping. I don't know, but it's just, that's on the players' minds too. If it's on my mind, I know it's on their mind. Of really, is this worth it? Like, are we going to be able to do this? Are we going to only be here for a week and then all of a sudden, hey guys, we gotta shut it down, man. Like, this virus is getting real out here. So it's just. There's just so many optimism surrounding this whole thing.
Yeah, and I think too that there's this thought, and it could be right, that okay, once we get in our bubble, once we get in the NBA bubble or the MLS or the NHL, once we get in the bubble, and then we have control and we make sure everybody's clean, everybody's good, then we'll be okay. And that may be right, because you have more control at that point. But until you got to get there first. So that's the issue. I mean, we see it with Dallas FC and Nashville SC that, yeah, they got there and they still have positive tests. So it's trying to get everything under control, and then you can worry about it. But until then, we're going to talk about these games that potentially happen. I mean, it is official on August 1st. The Nashville Predators will open their season, or their series, I should say, against the Arizona Coyotes in a best of five to get into the playoffs. So we know that right now that is scheduled to happen. We know that on Thursday, July 23rd, I've waited a long time to say this, it's opening day in the majors. As they released their schedule yesterday, the Yankees will take on the defending World Series champion Washington Nationals at 6:08 p.m. Central Time at Nationals Park. And then the nightcap, your LA Dodgers hosting the San Francisco Giants.
Luckily, there's no fans there, because that means no arrests will happen during that game. Because usually every opener between the Giants and the Dodgers usually end up in arrest. So good thing there is no fans in this. That's actually a positive that there's no fans there, because no one's going to get arrested. But I think having UFC and having NASCAR has gave us hope for it possibly, you know, happening and it going on without a hitch. But we see with soccer that, yeah, you can have a plan, but sometimes that plan could shift in a different direction, because we just saw a whole entire team have to pull out of the whole tournament because of this situation. So, and NBA players are traveling today, starting with the Orlando Magic, who don't have that far to travel. They took a bus down there to the bubble. DJ Augustine, Jonathan Isaac, and Aaron Gordon, and pretty much their whole cast is there. So that is a positive. And I saw Malika Andrews on ESPN, and she talked about her basically being in the bubble, and they've tested her frequently. So that's a positive, that at least, you know, they're going through with testing everybody on probably a daily basis and making sure that they, you know, have to. I'm just worried about once a player gets in the bubble and gets it, what's going to happen. Like, that is my biggest concern. I'm trying to block that negativity off of my brain, because I want to watch this, but that it's still a lot of questions to be asked and not enough answers. So we'll see.
Quickly, some highlights of the baseball schedule. Friday, July 24th, that's when most teams will play. There's only two games on opening day. The Braves will take on the Mets, so the battle of Chase and Willie will take place on Friday, July 24th. The Tigers and the Reds, so I saw the Tigers will play the Reds for the first two games. Congratulations, Ryan Porth and Rick Merritt. You'll have two wins to start the season. Darren's Indians will host the Royals to get things started with their season. And one thing that stood out to me outside of Saturday and Sunday, you don't have a lot of early day baseball, like a noon start. It's the earliest I've seen. It's like a 1 o'clock or Central Time or 2 o'clock Central Time. So a little bit later in the day, but still have some day baseball, which I think will obviously be great. I love day baseball. It's my favorite. But you have that. You'll have day basketball. You'll have soccer. I mean, you'll have things to choose from.
I'm excited about day basketball because it's like you don't get, especially in the NBA playoffs, you do sometimes, you get like early games because you'll usually, like the first round of the NBA, you know, usually is four games, like a day on a Saturday or four games on a Sunday. So that's like the most you'll get from an NBA, like all day thing. But to get seven games in one day, like I don't even know what to do with myself. And then the Dodgers are going to be playing around that time, and then, you know, it's going to be a lot. It's going to be a lot of consuming TV, a lot of catching up to do. But yep. ESPN's I noticed ESPN's Sunday night schedule is pretty good too, because yep. they got Yankees and Red Sox on August 2nd, so that should be a good one. Of course they do.
They always have Yankees.
But I give them props because they got the Phillies a couple times. They got Phillies and Braves 2 weeks in a row. So kudos, trying to change it up a little bit.
Well, that's going to do it for us. It's going to be Darren, Donick, and Chase. Donick is back in the fold. This is the first time in a long time the three of us have actually been together, so this will be fun. When we come back here, Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.